Yep. Do you need a check her mic or her voice?
She's good.
Okay.
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm terrific.
Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And today we're talking to Marguerite Moore. She's a professor at FIT in New York City and also at Farmingdale, and she teaches entrepreneurship. Marguerite, you come from the business world. You're not an academic by profession, are you?
That's correct. I worked at Lehman Brothers. I was a vice president of investment banking, doing marketing for the firm, and in that capacity, I identified businesses that were candidates for financing or mergers and acquisitions at Lehman Brothers.
So you were the hammer that said, this is not going to work.
Usually, yes. Yes. So basically, I worked with the retail division to identify their customers who owned businesses and were in a position to have me introduced to those business owners or CEOs or presidents of businesses.
You know, I'm just curious. When you said this, take a hike, basically, were people very annoyed with you at times?
Usually they were very disappointed. And, you know, I would try to find out where they could go if Lehman Brothers wasn't the place for them to.
So, in other words, that wasn't necessarily the end of the line.
Well, that's true for them. It may not have been the end of the line. Yeah. There were other organizations that would look at smaller businesses, and usually that was the case. They were small businesses that Lehman Brothers wouldn't be able to handle in a rewarding way.
In other words, there wasn't enough bucks in it.
There wasn't enough bucks, yes.
So when you actually started a business of your own, didn't you?
Yes, I started a business. At the time, I was married to a fellow who wanted to start a television station, and I said, well, gee, that's very interesting to me because here I am, you know, a person who's in financing and who helps businesses grow, and so, you know, I wanted to know more about this, and he suggested that, you know, I want to open up a television station for my people, which was a very honorable situation, I thought, and his people were the Egyptians. And in 1990, we ventured out on a course to investigate how to go about starting a business in the media enterprise. And it resulted basically in our starting the business, working with Time Warner Cable and other cable stations, cable distribution centers. And finally, we were on three cable systems carrying the programs of the Arabic Channel. And, you know, I was talking to a lot of people about what we were doing and how long have you been in existence, et cetera. And they would say to me, well, gee, you know, that's a very interesting story. Why don't you write it? Why don't you write a book on that? And eventually I did. I sat down one day and wrote a book, and it's called Love and War, The Human Side of Business, and it's available on Amazon.com. So The intent was to write the business for my entrepreneurship students so they could see, you know, what trials and tribulations and happiness could be gotten from starting your own business.
Now, entrepreneurship, I often tell people, you either is it or you ain't, and as an entrepreneur. And and you teach entrepreneurship. Now, isn't my statement more or less correct, that you have to be that fire-in-the-belly person who does make an entrepreneur work at the pace he does?
Well, yes, and there's also the question as to whether you can study to be an entrepreneur, or are you born to be an entrepreneur?
Which is the statement that I had made.
Mm-hmm. And I think that basically you have to have that business acumen. You have to have a realization of what give and take is with regard to starting a business. And you have to have the passion and the stick-to-itiveness, if you will, in order to make a business become fruitful.
Yeah. Now, That perseverance is a gift or a curse, depending on how you look at it.
Because that's right.
Perseverance can take you to the point where you just don't have any more money and you just don't have any place to go anymore.
That's true.
Whereas you could have cut your losses somewhere else.
That's true. And I think that if you are a born entrepreneur, even though you may have failures along the way, you have to realize that you learn from those failures and that
and
you
might
should
be
continue
a few more failures to go.
Yeah, but usually that happens, maybe the three or four failures that might come into play, but then you hit on one finally after learning what business is all about.
I don't think any real successful entrepreneur has made that leap to stardom, so to speak, mm-hmm. without those failures.
That's true. That's true. When you look at all the biographies of different people, you find that there were some endeavors that didn't come to fruition for them.
So when people come to you in a class mm-hmm. and they tell you that they want to be entrepreneurs,
yes,
they basically are entrepreneurs. Now they just want to know how to do it, how to work the fine points of finance and in other words, what you're teaching them, you can't teach them what they need to have to begin with, but you can teach them how to succeed once they have that drive. Is that an accurate statement?
I believe that's it's a pretty good statement. Of all the classes I've taught over the years, I have found that there are students who were in business or some kind of a business, you know, selling lemonade on the street corner when they were kids, but they tried something. And they're in class in order to learn more about it. Then you have the other students who are just curious about what is starting a business all about. What is entrepreneurship?
I don't know if that attitude gets you into the business world, though. Does it?
Just wanting to learn about it?
Just wanting to learn about it.
Not necessarily. It has to be something that's innate in you, that you want to do it, that you may have had some experience. Maybe you've worked for someone who had their own business and you say, well, you know, I can do this just as well as he can. So let me start my own business.
Well, I never had that kind of a drive. You know, I was the kind of guy who took an established formula and from time to time made a good living, you know? So but I always thought about that, you know, being that entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a gutsy move to do that.
It is a gutsy move. You have to be very confident in yourself in order to do that. And, you know, of course, having relationships and having a network helps a lot.
Now, when you were at Lehman Brothers, you saw a lot of people who had created businesses that were
already established.
Very formidable.
Yes.
And they went through a lot of pain to get to where they are.
Right.
But you weren't that person. You weren't that person then. In other words, you were analyzing the work of other people. How did you feel in relation to those people? In other words, you had to make judgments.
You had to make judgments. You have to understand what management is all about. You have to understand their market and their product. And you have to look at the competition. That's very significant. You really have to know what your competition is doing and try to find out where that industry is going. So you have to do a lot of market research. So whether you're established or not, or entering a business, you really have to do your market research.
So you think I should abandon my plans to go into the buggy whip business?
Buggy whips? I don't know. Aren't they selling any buggy whips lately? Do they have any buggies?
You might be successful by virtue of the fact you're the only person in the world selling them. So you just
maybe
never
in
know.
The third world you might be successful in selling them.
See, there you go.
Or maybe in horse country.
Horse country.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Yeah. But it's it may not be a growth industry.
That's correct.
Yeah. But, you know, we have a lot of people who made a lot of money on things that were not growth industries.
That's right.
they were just they just did it better than the next guy.
Did it better than the next guy, and perhaps you have some kind of a need or an idea to improve an existing business, different existing product out there, and you go ahead and do it, and suddenly you have a business.
And can you give an example of something like that?
You would ask me that right now, and I'm not prepared to answer that. I'll think of it when we go to break.
Okay. You're getting used to this television and radio stuff. We will talk about that. I want to talk about specific businesses that you've helped nurture in your courses of study.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll talk about that.
That's fine.
Today I'm talking to Marguerite Moore. She's a professor of, how would you call that, entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneurship.
And she does this at FIT and Farmingdale. This is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on 103.9 FM at Long Island News Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a moment. All right, now, and when we go back, I think what we'll talk about is specific.
You want to talk about that?
Yes, you want to. Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And we're talking to Marguerite Moore today. She's a professor of entrepreneurship at FIT in New York City and at Farmingdale. And we were talking about her capacity at Lehman Brothers when she was there and some of the things she did, and a business that she actually started on her own with her then-husband. And now I want to talk to you in this segment, Marguerite, about specific cases where you saw potential and they were successful. Also, you might want to point out a couple that were not successful and why. But we don't have to talk about that. But give me an example of something that you influenced an entrepreneur.
Okay, well, I think that probably if we put in the framework of what I have done in the past 3 years with Fashion Institute of Technology, there was a program developed by Fashion Institute of Technology and the City of New York City Economic Development Corporation. It's called the Design Entrepreneurs NYC, which is an effort that supports emerging talent in order to grow the city as a hub of fashion design. Working with DENYC, we call it. Well, let me go a little bit backstep a bit. DENYC is basically, in essence, an executive MBA program. It is for graduates who have been in business in the fashion industry for at least 2 years. And they want to come back and learn more about it when they have heard about the DENYC program. So we take on about 25 students for about a three-month course, which is very intensive. Those courses, I've been involved with three different years of courses.
When you say intensive, but isn't that in keeping with the type of people you're dealing with anyway? They're pretty intense.
They're pretty intense, yes. But you must realize that some of these people who have businesses that are 2 to 3 years old, they're at a point in time where they're getting frustrated and they may have orders, but they can't perform. They can't fill the orders. They don't know where to go to keep their costs down or to source their raw materials. So they're coming into this program to learn more about how you grow your business and how to achieve success. So I also get involved with mentoring at least three different designers who have businesses and helping them grow their business. So in that capacity, I would interview them, look at their business plans, help them improve their business plans. If they have a shop or if they have an office, go over and see what their operations are all about and offer suggestions as to how to improve their businesses. You can see from looking at the business plans that they have written that, you know, either they are on target or they're not. They have a good idea of what to be doing from this point forward. And so,
what kind of questions do they come to you with? Can you be, can you remember somebody who challenged you on that? Or is it just more or less routine?
Well, usually you find out that there is a disparity between their ability to fill orders and their ability to produce goods. They have a problem with money flow, cash flow. You know, a fashion business, if you're making garments, it could be six new lines coming out in a year. So how do you finance those lines, and how do you, where do you go to get them done? Is your supplier producing them quick enough in order to you to get them to your customers? And a lot of these students have boutiques that take their product. They're not really achieving or going to department stores as yet because they don't have a name, they don't have a brand. So they're really, you know, in a situation where, you know, how do I get noticed?
Mm.
And then where do I go to get money? And a lot of these students do not have any assets that, you know, you go to a bank with and say, here, this is my collateral. And so it's a really difficult situation for them.
But orders are a collateral, aren't they?
Well, yes, you can get financing for your payment orders from good clients, customers with good credit background. You can also factor your accounts receivable in order to produce monies for the next season. So, but, you know, they're limited because some of the...
And it's costly, too, isn't it?
It's costly. Well, in accounts receivable, you know, factors won't look at you unless you have over $100,000 in accounts receivable for them to finance. So it's a tough nut for them to crack.
You know, I had a client who was when I was in the insurance business, he had a business in New York. He was, all of his sales were between September 1 and December 1. But he was manufacturing all year long and stockpiling, and all of that time he needed to pay his workers, and he had to pay for his warehousing, and he had to pay for everything. So he financed everything, and then when the orders start being paid for the following year, he would pay off, I don't know, $15 million after all of that time, and then... you know, garner a profit from it and then create a new cycle of debt. And is that a commonplace thing to do in that business?
I would say yes, it is a common thing to do.
But not over a year, though.
Not over a year. A lot of the accounts receivable financing and the purchase order financing that you may be able to... obtain or short term.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to be able to know your clients, know your suppliers, and know, you know, when you're going to get payment. So it's very important for you to know your collection schedule.
Yeah. In this particular case that I just recited, he had some very large department stores that were doing the buying, and they were very reliable in those days, particularly because they were the juggernauts of the industry.
Right.
Today, with online buying and a whole lot of other things, these people don't have the same clout that they used to have, and it might not be the same situation
today. That's right. Yeah, things change over time.
And Do you have people who are gearing their business to solely over the internet, by the way?
Oh, yes. Well, the way it is now, it's you start a business and it's mandatory that you have a website to show your product.
I think if you have a gas station, you need a website.
Well, a lot of people in the fashion industry have a website to show their fashions, or their lookbook is what it's called. So they show their lines, and then they're able to talk to buyers and say, well, look at my website. This is what we have. You know, if they can't, if they don't bring samples. Well, you know, they also do that, too. They have trunk shows where they bring their product to buyers to show their product. They do sell online as well.
Willie Loman was the salesman in Death of a Salesman.
Oh.
He would have a trunk full of stuff
that he
would go all over the place and hawk his wares.
And some of these students, you know, they travel across the country in order to sell their stuff.
By the way, if anybody doesn't know who Willie Loman is, look up Death of a Salesman and see that show. It's a very good show.
Yeah, there is a movie on that.
Oh, there is a movie on it, yes. Mm-hmm. But there's plays all over the place. They redo that a lot. Yeah. It was a great show, but in any case. Willie Loman was not one of your candidates for your course.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a good businessman.
No, well, you know, in this course that I mentioned for DENYC, there are workshops where they learn how to approach boutiques, how to deal with boutiques, also such mundane things, if you will, which is really beyond an entrepreneur's scope at this point in time that I'm talking about. Excel and learning how to use QuickBooks. So,
well, these are all skills that you need
as
a businessman, whether
that's
or
right.
not you're an entrepreneur or somebody who is just making a living buying and selling and things.
And not just putting your bills and your payments in a shoebox and hoping that your accountant will straighten it all out.
We know those
guys.
The
time comes.
And before you know it, you got another bill you already paid it, but you have your proof.
That's right.
So you guys who are operating out of a shoebox, get rid of the shoebox. And start.
Use QuickBooks.
Well, I don't know. They're not a sponsor here, so I don't know if we want to talk about that.
That's right.
This is Ernie Fazio. I'm talking to Marguerite Moore. She's a professor of entrepreneurship at FIT and Farmingdale. Thanks for listening. This is 103.9. On
Long Island
News Radio. Well, you'll fix that, I know.